Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q2 FY15 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company, as always. Then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. As you're aware, we raised over 750 crores by way of a QIP in September 2014. It was oversubscribed by investors. We are thankful to all our investors for their faith in us. This money, as we had mentioned earlier, is to create a war chest for investing in our verticals like 99acres and our investee companies. The board also declared an interim dividend of rupees 1 per share, similar to that of last year. Moving on to the financial performance of the company in Q2, net sales in Q2 were rupees 147.5 crores versus rupees 123 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 20%. For Q2, operating EBITDA was at 41.5 crores, a decrease of 5% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin was at 28% versus 35% in Q2 of last year, mainly on account of higher spend on advertising and manpower. Other income increased on account of maturity of FMPs. The income on the QIP funds is not yet captured in the Q2 numbers. Income on the same, or at least a part of it, is expected to be booked from Q3 onwards. PAT was at 33 crores, which was flat year-on-year, and operating PAT was at 24 crores, down 8% year-on-year on account of a lower EBITDA. And operating PAT margin was at 16% versus 21% in the same quarter of last year. Deferred sales revenue has decreased to rupees 147 crores versus rupees 150 crores as of September 30th versus June 30th, but it's 21% up year-on-year. Cash and cash equivalents on the balance sheet increased to about 1,273 crores as a result of the QIP. Yeah. Moving on to performance by business, please note that all business-wise numbers are management estimates and are not audited. Recruitment top line grew by 19% year-on-year in Q2 to rupees 107 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were flat at 51%, similar to that in Q2 of last year. In Naukri, the EBITDA margin was at 55%, similar to that in Q2 of last year. On the operating side, in Naukri in Q2, we added an average of 13,100 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 39 million CVs. The number of CV modifications continued to average at about 135,000 per day. The Naukri JobSpeak Index was at 1,478 in August 2014 versus 1,238 in September 2013. In Q2, we serviced 31,000 unique customers versus 27,000 last year. In H1, we serviced 40,000 unique customers versus 35,500 in H1 of last year. Our new products like the Career Site Manager and the Referral Hiring product continue to do well. The mobile app also continues to get good traction in terms of both downloads and engagement, and the traffic from the mobile platform continues to inch up. Moving on to the real estate business, 99acres top line grew by 32% year-on-year in Q2 to about 24.5 crores. In Q2, 99acres made an EBITDA loss of about 10 crores. This loss is mostly on account of continued investments in manpower, product, technology, and advertising, all of which is expensed out every quarter. Going forward, this loss may increase depending on the kind of investments we incur in this business. Paid listings in Q2 were at approximately 6 lakhs, similar to Q2 of last year. Traffic from mobile for 99acres is around 29% of total traffic. As I pointed out earlier, we've raised funds in the through the QIP route to invest primarily in 99 acres to strengthen and consolidate our leadership position. We continue to invest aggressively in our product, platform, technology, brand, expansion of sales team, data quality and analytics to further strengthen our position in this market. Jeevan Sathi's net sales grew by 2.5% in Q2 and reached 9.45 crores. There was an EBITDA loss of around 2.3 crores in Jeevan Sathi. In Shiksha, net sales grew by about 14%. Our investee companies continue to witness good growth. We did not make any new investments in Q2. Our investee companies continue to evaluate raising of more funds from time to time. And we continue to carefully evaluate investment opportunities in our current portfolio companies and in new companies in the Indian internet market. To summarize, the job market is showing signs of picking up. We are seeing good growth in coming in from IT companies and from some of sectors like insurance. We are gaining share from other forms of recruiting and from competition as we speak. Our competitive position in Naukri continues to be strong. As growth picks up, we hope to benefit even more. Our investment, especially in new product development, will continue to help maintain and strengthen our leadership position. As I mentioned, in 99 Acres, we have multiple initiatives going on in areas like verified listings, map search, better UX and design, improved product and platform, mobile, and separate platforms for new homes. In addition to, of course, our investments and continued investments in branding, we expect more and more sort of features and functionalities to be launched going forward. Continues to grow in an uncertain market, and we will continue to invest in this business, and we will continue to invest in Jeevan Sathi and Shiksha as well. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you very much for being on the call.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. We'll take the first question from the line of Srivatsan Ramachandran from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Hitesh. Just wanted to get your comments on Naukri. Are we seeing a new set of sectors or companies which have before not generally taken up Naukri logins for either database or for ads kind of taking up? Just wanted to understand how it is beyond the traditional sectors. Historically, we've seen IT or large sectors like banking adopting it, but are we seeing some of the more smaller niche sectors taking up the Naukri related or recruitment services?
So, like I mentioned, you know, the number of customers who use Naukri have grown by around 4,500 over last year in the first half of this year. We continue to add new customers across sectors and across geographies. But, of course, the big hirers in India continue to be the IT companies and the large companies in banking and insurance and some of the other infrastructure sectors. But, you know, we are doing business with a lot of companies in the e-commerce space. We are doing business with a lot of companies in the mobile space as well.
On 99 acres, just wanted to understand.
Add, Sanjeev here, to answer your specific question specifically, we have not noticed any significant change in sectoral composition of our clients.
Okay. Thanks, Sanjeev. Just a follow-up on the 99 acres bit. Wanted to understand how your revenue breakup would be. Would most of your reach, from a reach point of view, would most of it be tier 1 cities or it would be a good mix of tier 1, tier 2 cities? Just wanted to understand in terms of reach or how your positioning would be across tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities.
So we operate around 20 cities, but most of our revenue comes in from the top 8 cities.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions. Firstly, on 99 acres, given the fact that there is so much of investment going into the business, why has the top line growth started to slow, you know, assuming that we are still early days for 99acres and the growth has already come down to almost 30%. That, you know, some color on that, I'll follow up with other questions.
Yeah, so, you know, one, of course, growth has slowed down a bit because in some of the markets we are operating, we're not seeing a lot of real estate activity. So, for example, Delhi, which is about a third of our business, has slowed down considerably this year because of a lack of new launches and the real estate market slowing down in general. As far as the investment in 99acres goes, you know, what we are investing in is unlikely to yield any sort of benefits in the short term in terms of revenue. We are investing in areas which are sort of going to help us improve our user experience over the medium term. Many of these investments are actually to create a market or to sort of do things which we were hitherto not doing to improve the user experience. They are unlikely to result in any impact. They are unlikely to impact revenue in the short term. For example, this verification of listings. We are providing a few free services to our brokers and to owners who come to our site to get their listings verified. It's a big cost for us. We are encouraging it to improve the user experience. Hopefully, in the medium term, it will help us gain traffic share. But in the short term, it is unlikely to have any impact on revenue.
Okay. Secondly, on deferred revenue, you know, it has fallen. Is it seasonality or anything more?
Yeah, I think what you should look at, you know, as far as deferred revenue and Naukri revenue and all these things go, you should look at them year on year more than quarter on quarter. Typically, you know, quarter one is always sort of very, Q4 and Q4 are normally very healthy and very good for us because of the nature of the business. So you know, I think the number to watch is the growth year on year and not quarter on quarter as far as deferred revenue is concerned.
Okay, and in terms of advertisement and employee costs, you know, we have seen that your headcount has been growing in the last 2-3 quarters. The promotion spend is also, you know, this quarter shot up. So will this remain at these levels or, you know, like in the past, we'd see some quarters where there'll be a dip and then it'll go up, or for 99acres, you will remain at high levels for some time to come?
Yeah, so most of the increase in spending, both on the manpower side and on the advertising side, is on account of 99acres. You know, it is very likely that we will sort of up the spend for 99acres as far as branding.
Participants, we have the line connected back to the management, so you may go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion. I hope I was able to get my answer across for the last question.
Essentially, you mentioned that the cost for a promotion and employee for 99acres will remain at high levels, so it could accelerate also.
Yeah, depending on competitive activity. But in general, the trend is going to be up.
Okay. Just last housekeeping question from my side. If you could just give us how many apps have been downloaded for 99acres for Naukri, and the percentage of traffic on mobile coming for Naukri.
So in 99acres, about 29% of our traffic is on the phone. And in Naukri, the number is around 33-34%. As you know, we don't give out the number of app downloads.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Firstly, if you could give some proportion of what proportion of your revenues for 99acres comes from, you talked about 33% from Delhi NCR. What proportion would come from Bombay and Bangalore?
You know, so like I said, a lot of our revenue comes from the top 8 cities. Delhi is about a third, maybe plus minus a few percent. The top 5 or 6 cities would be more than 50-60%.
Okay. And if I look at your number of employees, it's gone up to around 3,700. Any broad sense of how many are dedicated to Naukri in 99acres, your largest businesses?
Yes, so 70% of the, at least more than 70% of the headcount increase in our business over last year, about 70% is on account of 99acres.
70% of the increase is on account of 99acres.
Yeah.
But what would be the base of employees who are more or less working on 99acres?
We don't give out that number, yeah.
Okay. And thirdly, I mean, if I look at the number of paid transactions in 99acres for the quarter, so September quarter, both this year and last year seems to have been seasonally stronger. What is the reason for that?
You know, in general, it's a growing business, so, you know, it continues to grow quarter on quarter. So, and also, I mean, there is no real reason, but it is possible that, you know, because of the festival season in October, November, we get some additional sort of transactions happening in September. But in general, I think it's only because we sort of keep growing quarter from quarter to quarter.
Okay.
So I'm sure in 6 months from now, we'll do sort of more transactions than we did in September.
Okay. And lastly, I mean, if I look at your revenues from others, which is outside of 99acres and Jeevansathi, that seemed to have been quite high last quarter, and this quarter it seems to have fallen. I mean, it was about 9 crores last quarter and 6 crores this quarter. I mean, was there any one-off item in the last quarter in the combination of Shiksha and All Check deals and Bridge and all that?
Just 1 second, I'll have to sort of check that number. So others is mostly Shiksha, and
we'll come back.
We'll get back to you on that one.
Sorry, one last question. I mean, what's happening on Zomato? What sort of traction are you seeing? And particularly outside of India, you know, what sort of traction are you seeing? Any color on that?
I think Zomato is now in 16 or 17 countries. It's dominant on traffic share and making money in India and the UAE. It's market leader in several other markets like South Africa, New Zealand, Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Philippines, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, right? And there are other markets where it is too early to say, and one or two markets where it is facing an uphill climb, like UK. So I think overall the results have been very, very good on Zomato so far, and we are confident about its success going forward.
And are you looking at acquisition as a major tool for driving growth in Zomato,
this year at least the acquisitions have been made in New Zealand, in Poland, in the Czech Republic, in Slovakia. None of them will give significant revenue. They might going forward next year, but I think acquisition is part of their strategy. Should one come about at the right price, and it'll probably be a standalone one or two cities kind of website. It's not as if they only do acquisitions. There's substantial organic entry and market entry and growth happening.
Okay, thanks a lot. So that's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prince Bodhan from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Some questions from my side. Firstly, sir, you mentioned the deferred sales number at 147 crores. Is that correct?
Just 1 second. That's the total number, right?
Yeah.
Deferred sales, 147 versus 155 last quarter. Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, sir, the Naukri job stick index has been quite lower in August, which is not depicting what is happening in the market, which is actually improving. What has led to this drop in this index?
There's no drop. See, it is up 18%, around 18-20% year on year.
Yeah, but on a Q-on-Q basis also, if I see, on a Q-on-Q basis, it has dropped a lot. Month-on-month basis.
So there are some fluctuations from month to month, you know, depending on holidays and depending on sort of various other things. I think what you should look at is the general trend from quarter to quarter. That is, I think, more important and more indicative of what is happening in the marketplace.
Why? But, you know, I'll tell you one other thing.
Yeah.
We think there was a significant, there was a pretty good, decent bounce back in Q1 of this financial year, YOY, in the economy. The economy, after bouncing back there, has not improved at the same rate in quarter two, in our sense.
Okay. Okay, sir. And the third one, sir, in the 99acres, the number of paid listings, paid transactions has been 21 million, or that is 21,000. So where do you see this number in 2 to 3 years' time, and what kind of average revenue per paid listing trend do you see going ahead?
See, there's a huge untapped market in 99acres. We are just beginning to sort of get into this market. Maybe there are a couple of 100,000 brokers out there. A lot of them, of course, don't have access to the internet. A lot of them don't have PCs. A lot of them are hard to reach. So a lot will depend on how fast some of these brokers move onto the internet. and whether they buy our access to our portal or not, and how well we are able to service them and sell to them. So it's very hard for me to predict what this number could be 3 years from now. It also depends on the state of the market. We've seen in the past that when the market is good, there are many more people who become brokers, and there are many new businesses set up and which start in a market which is bad. Brokers start shop often.
Right.
So a lot will depend on the state of the market. A lot will depend on how fast brokers move to the internet, and a lot will depend on how well we sell to them. It's very hard to predict what's going to happen 3 years from now.
Oh, that's true. Just one indicative percentage of among these 21 paid transactions, how much have came from the brokers and how much from others? So, or is it almost all brokers that kind of?
No, a lot. We don't give out numbers by segment, but a lot of this would be developers and builders as well.
Okay, so basically, it's mostly developers,
some,
builders,
some
and
owners
brokers.
Also who sort of pay us.
Yeah, that's my main question, sir. Are owners also paying you? The owners
see,
of flats.
Most of the stuff for owners is free, but some of them can upgrade to a premium listing by paying a small fee.
Okay.
So that, yes, we do get some owners who pay us as well.
Okay. Sir, there has been a lot of media articles about Zomato fundraise and things like that. So is there any base in that? Is any such thing happening? Because the kind of valuations these articles are talking about is humongous. It's huge. So is there anything actually happening on that side?
Well, Zomato, is a company which is, there's a lot of investor interest in it. And
correct.
Therefore, investors constantly talk to them. I think there was an article that appeared in the Economic Times that says Zomato is raising money at a post-money valuation of $1 billion.
Right.
We immediately denied that and sold it to Zomato. That article is speculative. Zomato is doing very, very well. Investors keep talking to them. We do not believe that they will get a $1 billion round valuation in the next 2 to 3 months. Okay. And therefore, we have no announcements to make in this regard right now.
Okay. And also that news about InfoEdge might be offloading its stake.
We denied that. If you look at the three businesses that really move the needle for us.
Yeah.
In all our internal businesses and the investing companies,
right.
They are Naukri, 99acres, and Zomato.
And Zomato, yeah. Correct.
And we would not let go of them.
Perfect. And the last question from my side, sir. These acquisitions Zomato has made recently, the four acquisitions,
it has made three acquisitions.
Right.
One of the acquisitions is in two countries, in Czech and Slovak Republic,
right.
Slovakia. And then there's an acquisition in Poland, and there's an acquisition in New Zealand.
Right. So these acquisitions, are these already market leaders in the sense how are the positions in their individual?
They are dominant traffic leaders in their markets, not doing a lot of revenue. They are small companies which are not well capitalized, they were able to get these companies at a price which they felt was correct.
So traffic share is they are almost leaders in their market.
They are dominant leaders, not almost leaders. They are dominant leaders.
Okay. Thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Srinivas Seshadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. The first is a couple of questions on Naukri. Given that the growth rate has stepped to around 19% and Sanjeev earlier commented that the domestic economy after a spurt of growth has kind of looks like it has stabilized. So do you think...
it may have stabilized for a quarter. It may pick up again. Let's see what the government does on reform. There are many moving parts.
Sure. So as you see it now, do you think there is comfort on more acceleration beyond, say, 20% at this stage? Or do you think... IT has already done pretty well. So you need the other parts of the business to start firing up now to deliver better growth. So is that visibility there in Naukri to move beyond 20% growth? Or do you think at least in the near term, growth could be around these levels as you see it now?
Yeah, so that's hard to say because a lot would depend on what happens to the economy. So if the non-IT sector, especially sectors like infrastructure, start doing well, then of course growth could pick up from there. On the other hand, if something happens to the IT sector and IT slows down, then we could struggle to hit 20% as well. So but right now it does appear like we'll be in this ballpark range about 15 to 20%. if things continue to be like the way they are.
But, you know, with oil prices falling, with the prospect of, therefore, inflation falling and possibly interest rates easing out in India over the next couple of quarters, maybe, you know, you'll see a boost to the economy, especially if the government announces some policy reforms.
Okay. And the second part of the Naukri business where I had a question on was, if you see the OPEX for the Naukri business, it is up by nearly 19% in line with the revenue growth and margins are stable. Historically, at least in the last 4 or 5 quarters, the spending rate has been much lower than this. So wanted to understand the areas where you're now investing in the Naukri business. Are there areas where you are recruiting some significant number of people or spending on some technology projects or brand or something? If you can give some color on what has driven this OPEX growth and what is the likelihood of that growing at this pace going ahead?
So we are not adding too many people. We've added a few people, of course, in the last few months, but it's not as if we've really grown the workforce in Naukri. But yes, we are investing substantially behind our product and our platform. And, you know, the mobile piece I just spoke about, the new products that we are developing. So all this requires a lot of investment initially. We also made a couple of acquisitions, so sort of I'm sure we're amortizing that piece as well. But hopefully some of these will start yielding results as the and you know as the market recovers and we sort of start selling these products to our customers. The career site manager I mentioned is already doing very well. We have more than 700-800 customers of that product. Again, this was an acquisition, and you know, and then we got the team in house. Then we developed the product, moved it to our platform, improved it, and took it to market. So you know, if it if there was a lot of product development cost. And like I said, you know, we capitalize everything in the quarter in which we incur the cost. We don't sort of defer it. So some of this is that. Some of it is, of course, we are experimenting with some new things which are still in the pipeline, which haven't hit the market as yet. And hopefully, you know, once they hit the market, it'll sort of help our business. So it's not as if we're adding a lot of people in sales and operations and some of those roles. We've added a few, but most of this investment is on the brand, on the product and technology front.
Yeah, I'll add one more thing. You see, our increments take place in April, okay? And therefore, there's a step function in cost there, right? And your revenue is growing at 20%, and typically you're growing, you know, over the quarters, and therefore quarter four ends up being a big quarter. So if you grow 20% in quarter four, that's actually a huge increase, and your salary base is stable at that stage. And therefore, if you look at overall margin for the year, and a 20% growth for the year, with increments taking place in April, you'd probably add margin in the second half of the year and not in the first half of the year. Okay, and that's how it'll average out to some margin increase, so long as costs stay at 19% at this level.
Okay. Just to clarify on that, are you saying that the cost increase also will be kind of whatever you've seen, apart from the... what do you call the normal salary increment, that cost increase could kind of slow down a little bit from here on, based on what
you... increments are once a year, right? They're in April.
Yeah. No, I meant the non-increment part.
You add a few hundred people in Naukri in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
You know, salaries won't go up.
Okay. So it's fair to assume that now, in terms of the cost base, it will not rise much from here on average.
Unless you start advertising more.
So it will not rise much for maybe a quarter or so, but you know, we evaluate our business prospects from quarter to quarter. And if it requires, you know, if we see an opportunity and we want to invest in a few new things, if you want to build our brand sort of or sort of put some money into advertising, we will do that. So it's very, I can't say for sure that, you know, this is what the cost is going to be for the rest of the year as well. But yes, we are not looking to add too many people right now in the Naukri business.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Hitesh, the second, or maybe Chintan can take it, the second question was on the staff cost. So if you look at the period end headcount, it was up by close to 35% year-on-year. But the staff cost is up by only about 27%, which implies that there is a deflationary impact in terms of the new employees. So is it because of the profile of people you are hiring, maybe on the verified listing or something where the pay scales are much lower than the company average, and is that a trend to look to going forward in terms of overall average employee cost mix?
I can't say for sure if this is going to be the trend, but you're right. You know, we've added you know, about 1,000 people in the last 1 year, and yes, a lot of the hiring has been in area in roles like verification, which are low end. But a lot of this hiring has also been in very high end roles like technology and product and analytics and so on. So I think what you're seeing is a result of the mix. Whether this is going to be the trend going forward is hard for me to say. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And Hitesh, if I may just ask one more question on 99 acres. So there are a couple of trends which are visible in your operating metrics. So if I look at the proportion of paid listings versus total listings, it was about 82% last year. It has dipped to about 73%. And again, in terms of probably the overall revenue also, it has gone down a bit in terms of the growth rate. So is there any kind of phenomenon you're saying because of many of these sites scaling up in terms of traffic, they're giving freebies in terms of listings, etc., that you had to kind of, I mean, also, even if not dilute, then maybe people have less, what do you call, are less inclined to pay you for the same service as a year before. Are you seeing some kind of a quasi pricing pressure or say a reluctance to pay on part of the customer for the same service as what it was a year ago?
So, like I said, it's, you know, it's different in different markets. So, in markets like Delhi, we have sort of seen low growth last quarter. But I suspect the reason for this is that the market for real estate in Delhi NCR is very, very, very sort of weak right now as we speak. There are hardly any transactions taking place, you know, in Noida and Gurgaon. There have been no new launches. In property prices have come up a little bit. This is not the trend everywhere, but in some markets we see this, we have a problem, you know. In Chennai, for example, it has been slow as well, and so has been Hyderabad because of Telangana, etc., has been slow for a while. So, you know, in some of the markets we operate, in general, real estate activity is actually at an all-time low. Having said so, you know, we continue to work hard to gain share from other forms of other media forms. The other thing which is happening is, so you know, as we sort of grow our business, like I said, we're investing behind customer experience, we're investing behind, you know, acquiring quality listings, we're investing behind many other things. We are sort of are trying very hard to get owners to list more and more on our site. And owner listings are by and large free. We don't charge for owner listings. And yes, there is some pressure on the owner side because of competition, because, you know, they sort of give stuff. Every site is free for owners. And therefore, you know, we were sort of getting some owners who were paying us. It's possible that the number of owners who are paying us have come down because they can now list for free everywhere. But owners are a very small part of our revenue. We don't really sort of, you know, depend too much on owners for revenue. So what you're probably seeing is, one, of course, a result of, you know, the market being slow in certain geographies. Two, you know, we sort of are focusing more on owners to get higher quality listings, and owner listings are mostly free. And thirdly, yes, maybe in some markets there's more competition and more competitive activity as well, which sort of results in people delaying their purchase decision, which sort of because they want to try out one or two new places. That could be happening as well. But it's not as if we have picked up this a lot of this from our sales team till now.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pinku Papan from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. In 99 acres, have you seen, so we have seen your traffic data up to the month of July, whereby, you know, you had a 30% share. Have you seen any improvement in this traffic, you know, share, you know, in the recent months, I'm saying up to maybe September?
So I guess you're referring to ComScore. Are you referring to ComScore
right.
traffic share?
Exactly.
So traffic share is measured by ComScore, right? So, you know, we saw a dip in our traffic share as measured by ComScore in last quarter because of massive sort of competitive activity, especially from MagicBricks. You know, so but what we've seen in the past is that, you know, this is normally not a permanent shift. So, you know, as and when we sort of start spending more, we get back our share. But we did not really respond last quarter aggressively to their advertising burst on television. We, of course, will be, like I said in the call earlier, we may be forced to respond aggressively to competition if we see a lot of competitive activity, and this may mean sort of more spend on advertising and more losses in the short term. But it's not as if, so our traffic share for the year as a whole, till date we must have averaged around 35-36%. In sort of months in which we are aggressive, we probably go to 37-38. In months in which competition is aggressive, we go down to 31-32. I think what is important is to see the traffic share for the year as a whole, because traffic shares, on a month-to-month basis can vary a lot depending on competitive activity.
Got that. Secondly, of the 750 crores that you raised in the QIP, are you earmarking some portion of that towards investing in Zomato?
No. We have clarified during the roadshows that the QIP money will be earmarked for 99 acres and kept aside as a watch list. If at the end of 2 or 3 years we find that some of it has not been used, we may then look at it for the users. We have enough money in the company to fund our current portfolio companies as well as new portfolio companies required. So if there's any investment going to any of our portfolio companies, it will come from it will not come from the QIP money.
All right. And lastly, can you elaborate on Zomato's plans to set up operations in some of the mature markets like, say, Western Europe or U.S. for that matter?
So Zomato, is not making any announcements on this at the moment. But there have been speculative reports in the media that they're looking at the U.S. to go to the U.S. in the next few months. Those are incorrect. They may look at other markets, but not the U.S.
Do you have any timeline for the U.S. entry?
No.
Okay, but it will be a market that will be considered, right? Sometime in future.
Well, look, the way the restaurant discovery listing, restaurant advertising market is, the way the global market is the U.S. is 50% and the rest of the world is 50%. So it's too big a market to ignore over a 5 to 10 year period. But that's like very speculative in the long run. Let's see how they do in the current markets they've gone into and the new markets that they want to go into.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sanjeev, just one question from my side.
Mm-hmm.
Given how much money is being, injected in the internet sector and valuations are, doubling, tripling every few months, and you have also mentioned that Zomato is one of your key areas of focus. Now, in the last round of investments, you did give up some stake, but remained at 50%.
Now, 50.4%.
Yeah, 50.4%. So the question is, how much are you willing to go to retain this stake in terms of...
We'll evaluate that on a case-by-case basis, and we'll see how the company is doing and what the risk levels are and how it's trending. But yes, as far as we are concerned, we would like to retain above 50%, but I cannot be more specific than that until a specific situation presents itself.
The other question is, since now that valuations across the board have gone up, so one should assume that the number of new investments in investee companies would progressively, reduce significantly or you're still evaluating opportunities as they are coming?
We continue to evaluate opportunities, but over the last couple of years, we've not done a new company, actually.
Yeah.
And that's because our bar has gone higher than before. And we also understand this, having, done 9 investments over the last 5-7 years, having seen maybe 400 business plans and entrepreneurs, we have perhaps, we have learned also ourselves, and, our judgment is slightly better. So we are perhaps a little more selective now than we were earlier. But we might do more companies, maybe, but, we've got 6 in our portfolio right now. 6 will not become 12 in a hurry, but 6 will become 7 or 8 or 9. But like I said, a company that will be really compelling and good for us to invest.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mithun Lathia from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. On the advertising cost, last quarter, saw an increase and we still lost share on 99 acres. So given the dynamic in the market, if we were to go back to our traffic share of 37-38%, what would be a sort of normal sustainable advertising cost that we would have to incur?
See, it depends on competitive activity. We lost share last quarter because competition outspent us maybe 6-1 on television. If they start doing this every quarter, we'll be forced to respond. And that may mean, of course, a crazy amount of spend on 99 acres. So it's very hard to say what is going to happen if they don't spend the same amount of money next quarter. And we spend a little more than what we've been spending. We may gain back some of the share. So right now it's a crazy market, and you know, and it's very hard to predict what competition is going to do. But you know, we'll be forced to respond if people sort of are over aggressive in the market.
Would it be safe to assume that the levels that we have reached are probably now a good base, and it can only go higher from here?
Can't be sure. It depends on what happens. You know, it's a, you know, we are of course doing our best and investing in 10 different areas to improve our position in the marketplace. But so is competition, and there are lots of competitors out there. We don't know what they're planning, what they're thinking. So of course, you know, if things continue to be like they are, you know, we could improve our share. But if there's a if competition feels that like this is a $5 billion market, and you know, it's okay to spend $500 million to sort of, in the end, to create a $5 billion company, and they go wild. We've seen, you know, we've seen what is happening in e-commerce. We see what is happening in general classifieds. So if it gets into that kind of a situation, then there'll be a war out there for the next 2-3 years.
You know, just to add one thing. We have just uploaded on our corporate site, info.in, and also on the stock exchange sites. A letter we've written today to the shareholders, which details out the things we're doing in 99acres, and you know, in terms of how we are planning to you know, improve product, improve data, invest in brand, all of those things. In some detail, we've given it out. It's the link is on our homepage on the right hand side, October 16, 2014 stake shareholder letter. If you just take 2 minutes to read that, you will get a very good idea of our plans on 99acres in the next 6 to 9 months.
Sure. Just an add-on on that question. Is there a number we can put to the penetration of brokers that we would have achieved on these top 8 cities by now?
No, like I said, you know, there are so many brokers out there, we don't even know what the real number is. You know, we probably deal with maybe 20,000 brokers in total. Maybe there are 40,000 brokers in Delhi NCR alone. Who knows? There are brokers we've identified who we don't work with. There are brokers who we have not identified who exist in the market. There are new brokers setting up shop every day. There are brokers who shut down. So my sense is that the number of brokers out there is at least 100,000, if not 200,000. But whether all of these will move to the internet, whether they will have access to the internet, whether they have access to the internet today or not, is hard to say. But yes, over a 5-7 year period, if you sort of look at this, you know, the truth is India will have, you know, the property market will explode. There are so many people who don't have homes. There are new developments coming up everywhere. There are brokers setting up shop everywhere. There are more cities into which we will penetrate. So the market potential is large, but you know, it may take a few years to get there.
Sure. I think a previous participant had asked this question about the Shiksha revenue showing a very sharp dip quarter on quarter. I don't know if you've sort of figured it out.
Yeah. So we had a few issues on the Shiksha sort of side, but I think we are slowly fixing those. But like I've said on previous calls as well, you know, the Shiksha product needs to improve a lot, and we are working very hard on this. But hopefully we've got some things right. We're working on a few more, and business should improve from here on. The good thing is that Shiksha is not losing a lot of money, so it's not a very it's not a space where VCs have invested hundreds of millions of dollars. So we are sort of we still have some time to fix things, and we're getting there. We had a couple of tough quarters in Shiksha, which sort of impacted collections. The impact of which is being now being seen in revenue, but things are improving, and hopefully in a couple of quarters growth rate should look up.
Sure. Thanks for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ketan Shah from Comgest. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, in your shareholders' letter, you talks about UX design, which helps in customer experience, and it said that it will come up in next 2 to 3 months or few months out.
Yeah.
So even this map-based interface will be a part of this.
Yeah. So in the letter, we've also mentioned that the map search version 1 is almost ready, and we'll sort of make it live soon. But, you know, it's a test that we're going to conduct, because we're not 100% convinced that the map search is the way most consumers want to experience and search the site. So we make it live. We'll sort of give consumers a choice, see what they prefer, and then, you know, take it forward from there. So version one, like I said, is already sort of almost ready, and we'll make it live in the next couple of weeks. And version two is something we've started working on. If we get good traction on version one, then, you know, we'll sort of more work harder on version two and make that live after a few months. The UX revamp is a general sort of thing. We are working on revamping our homepage. We are working on, you know, changing our regular sort of search. We are working on, you know, improving our search results pages and our property detail pages. So that's something which is sort of under development. And, you know, over the next few months, you'll see some of these changes going live on our site.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankit Kedia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
So one question on the A&P spends. In the recent budget, there was a service tax on A&P. Did that impact to a certain extent the A&P spends, given that a certain chunk would be on Google Ads and other?
That's from the 1st of October, I think.
Okay, so probably from quarter 3 onwards, our A&P spends could be much higher than the regular because of the service tax. And what percentage of our ad spends would be internet-related ad spends?
So we also get the set-off on the service tax we pay to our suppliers, because we also collect service tax on the services we sell.
No impact on the expense side
because of this increase in service tax on on online advertising. Sorry, what was the second question?
So what percentage of our spends, A&P spends, would be on online?
So, you know, we don't give out that information. It varies from quarter to quarter, and it varies from by business. In some businesses, it's close to 90%. In some businesses, it's close to 20%. And it changes from quarter to quarter. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nandesh Dalal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My first question is actually about 99acres. Last quarter you had highlighted that competition is increasing and you expect more funds to come in the online real estate market. So have you witnessed any fund inflows in the online real estate market, especially for smaller players like Housing and CommonFlow.com? The second question is regarding Jeevan Sathi. Could you highlight the progress over there, because the growth has significantly deteriorated during the quarter? And my last question is actually, in the last call you had highlighted that Mindala is looking for fund expansion. So could you just update about is there anything going on in Mindala, and do you expect to close?
Yeah, to answer your first question, you know, there has been a fund raised, which has sort of, CommonFlow has raised over 30 million this quarter. I believe Housing is looking for funds. Magic Bricks has been investing in the space aggressively. We have raised 750 crores by way of a QIP to invest primarily in 99acres. So there's a lot of activity and a lot of investor interest in the real estate space, for sure. To answer your question, Jeevan Sathi, you know, even we are trying to figure out how to sort of get Jeevan Sathi to grow fast, faster than what it is growing at right now. We are experimenting with a few things, but it's a tough market. We are a number three player, and we're experimenting. You know, our mobile app is getting good traction. Our mobile traffic is almost half our total traffic now, and we are figuring out how to sort of monetize better. But progress is slow. We're still at it, yeah.
As far as Mindala is concerned, we have no announcements to make at this stage. They continue to be in conversation with investors.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Surana from Mirai Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is further to clarification on earlier question on Zomato fundraising. Should there be a fundraising and your intent to maintain about 50% stake? That would mean that you would participate in the fundraising. Will that be the correct interpretation?
If we do maintain majority, naturally we will participate to the extent of, you know, that we need to maintain majority in the next round. If on the other hand we decide that we don't mind keeping the minority, we may still have to participate to some extent, because typically the practice is new investors, at least some new investors require earlier investors to participate.
And what's the quantum of the money they need for the same?
Frankly, they've got enough money to last for a while, so they can go without a raise also.
So the fact that you raise is not known, the fact that, you know, how much raise will be not known, who will come in is not known, valuation is not known. But all we know is that, all we denied was that we intend to, that we want to sell and go to minority. That's not true. And they are in discussion to raise at $1 billion post-money, you know, valuation. That's also not true.
So given the current cash situation and the immediate business plan for next, say, 2-3 years, is it sufficient or they need fund earlier?
But it depends on how fast they want to grow, right?
Yeah.
So if they want to go into 10 or 12 new markets or new countries of the next, you know, a few months, the burn will go up. And then they don't have money for 2-3 years. If they decide that we make you in this money, they'll obviously slow down the growth and the expansion. Now, given the sort of ambitions of Zomato and the size of the opportunity and the fact that there are wide empty spaces out there, and they seem to have a playbook that results in, you know, a traffic leadership in 9 to 12 months, in, you know, depending on how they go into markets, and possibly monetization in 15 to 20 months, it makes sense to expand faster rather than slower. So the only constraint they seem to be having today is management bandwidth. That, you know, given the talent that they have, the leadership that they have, how many markets can they go into, how fast and execute well. And I guess they, to some extent they're playing it by ear. And, you know, but given the right opportunity, they might raise.
Okay. And I mean, if the valuation is very high, maybe a few months down the line or a few years down the line, would you stick to this 50% stake thing, or you can in fact probably monetize also?
You know, we will take that call as we go along.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, there are three businesses that move the needle.
Sure.
You know, for us right now, and that is Northeast, 99acres, and Zomato. So naturally, we'll be reluctant to let go of any of them.
Okay. And one, my second question is on 99acres. Let's say the current run rate of top line is 24-25 crore per quarter. Could you give any sense how much it is coming from related to new home sales? I mean, whether it is from builder or broker listing associated with new home sales, and how much is from the, any data point you can throw on that?
Well, our sense is that at least half the market, if not more, is new homes. It's different in different cities. So in the south, the market is primarily for new homes. In the north and west, you know, we get a lot of resale and rental revenue as well.
And trend-wise, over years, you see that coming down? And the secondary home sales or whatever, is it will pick up or it would remain like this?
So far, we've not seen a decline. We've not seen the trend change a lot in the last few years. So my sense is that the new home market will continue to be an important part of the business. Maybe 50%, maybe 60% is, or 70% is hard to say. We are committed to sort of developing our product and generating business in all segments.
Sure. Any number?
I'll just add a clarification. See, you've got to distinguish between number of listings and revenue. And if you look at mass media spends on real estate, which is we estimate between 2,500 and 3,000 crores. The bulk of the spend comes from builders, and builders only do new homes.
Yeah.
Right? What it means is that most of the revenue on advertising is for new homes.
Yeah.
But the number of listings, may not, it's probably not a proportion. Because a lot, brokers do a lot of resale and rental, and those are usually existing homes. Now, in North India, brokers also do primary, new homes. Okay, so when a broker becomes a client and he gives us money, he can use the listing for either new homes or for old homes, and we don't know. So therefore, as they said, while revenue will be 60-70%, maybe even more from builders, from new homes, whether it's builders or it's brokers, the number of listings may not be in that proportion.
Okay. And direct advertisement from builder, is it a significant portion of the top line, or it's more indirect?
It is a significant portion of the top line, but it's different markets. Like Sanjeev said also, in the south, a lot of the builders, advertise directly, while in the north, a lot of them often advertise to brokers. So, we deal with brokers, we deal with builders, we deal with owners, we operate in new homes, we operate in resale, we operate in rent. We are targeting all segments of the market. Often what happens is the new home market is very hard to predict. It's a large market, of course. But like I said, sometimes, because of various circumstances, like, for example, if there's a change in government or there are elections, or for example, you know, people don't get permissions or whatever. For whatever reason, new home launch activity could slow down in a certain market at a certain point in time and then take off at some other point in time. The retail and rental market is relatively speaking a little more stable. It may not grow as fast as a, you know, it may not be lumpy. It's more predictable.
Okay. And on competition, did I hear it correct that the competitors in this space, the TV ad spend was 5-6x yours?
No. I said Magic Bricks last quarter was very active on TV, was very aggressive on TV. And on television, they outspent us significantly, you know, maybe 5x, 6x last quarter.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Prince Poddar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just a little color on the lead distribution system, which you have mentioned in your letter to shareholders. What is happening on that front, or how?
What we have mentioned is that we have just sort of launched a very basic version,
correct,
and we are working on a superior version, and we are getting good feedback from the market on the product that we've launched. But it's still a long way to go. It's just a new product. It's just like less than a couple of weeks in the market.
Right. Okay. That's it.
You know, a lead in real estate is very valuable. You know, a buyer who's really interested in buying real estate is probably worth a couple of lakhs to some broker or to some builder.
Correct.
And if we have a good way of managing our leads, and if we help our customer manage their leads better, you know, it can result in a significant kicker to our business.
And you can also have a share of that. I mean, because it's a long way to go, but that's what I was referring to. What is happening on this end?
No, so we've made a good start, but, you know, it's very early. It's just been a couple of weeks, like I said. The initial response is encouraging. Let's see how this plays out over the next couple of years.
Perfect. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sunny Agarwal from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is on Zomato. Right now, we are monetizing only through advertisement. Any other way we are looking to monetize Zomato, and any internal target as far as the top line and operating EBITDA is concerned in medium to long term?
So, you know, they don't have a loss or EBITDA target or profit target. I think right now they're operating on two fronts. One is to get to traffic leadership in as many cities as possible. The second is, after you get to traffic leadership, how fast can you push markets into monetization and then profit? Now, as of now, the management thus far, the past 12 to 18 months, seem to have been prioritizing getting to traffic leadership in more markets, because they believe that monetization will follow. If it follows even 6 months later, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But traffic leadership, if you don't get to, or if you lose to somebody else, it's very hard to get to it.
Now, they
did 31 crores last financial year, that's March 14.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sort of their target that they've told us is a target, and that is 3x, by the way, the previous year, which is about 11 crores, a little less than 3x.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying we want to grow at roughly the same rate this year.
Okay.
Now, whether or not they're able to do it remains to be seen. There's still 6 months left. It's an early stage company, and, you know, they could miss the numbers, they could meet the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But growth is very, very high, and, you know, even if they miss the numbers, it's still going to be very high growth.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know. They might meet the numbers, right?
Okay.
So that is the kind of priority that they have.
Okay.
You first get to traffic leadership in many, many markets,
mm-hmm.
and then after your traffic leadership, try and monetize as much as possible. I think now with 7, 8, 9 markets where they have leadership but not enough monetization, they're going to focus on monetization in those markets for the next few months, while at the same time opening new markets.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the floor back to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you all for being on the call. Have a great evening and a very happy Diwali to all of you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.